Welcome to the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio. We've got a fast-paced hour of fishing, hunting, and conservation covering the nation and the Northwest, including 13 extra minutes of local content you'll only hear on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Welcome to your Saturday morning. I'm glad you're here. This week on the show, we've got two of my favorite local guests on the line for you. At the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with Tom Burlingame with XL Fishing Charters to find out how the fishing is for salmon near CQ this summer and what he expects when it comes to coho fishing there in the weeks ahead. Speaking of saltwater salmon, Bob Loomis is back for another extended Max Minute at the end of our program to talk about taking a sledgehammer to those kings and silvers the next time you head out to go after them. And if you're looking for salmon lures and related fishing tackle, whether it be for coho and chinook in the saltwater or sockeye at Baker Lake or Lake Wenatchee, look no further than your Puget Sound area Sportsman's Warehouse stores in Everett, Silverdale, Puyallup, and Federal Way. They will hook you up so you can get hooked up out on the water. And now, let's tell you what's hot this week in the Pacific Northwest. As for those sockeye, the Columbia River run continues to be a very strong one. Over 283,000 salmon have crossed Priest Rapids Dam heading into the upper Columbia River, 11% over the long-term average. Anglers are congregating near Wenatchee and Brewster, and they've been catching limits in a hurry. And better still, over 31,000 salmon have gone up the Wenatchee River, and we've got word from Travis Maitland at WDFW that a sockeye fishery will open at Lake Wenatchee Monday morning, that's August 3rd, with a 4-fish daily limit. As for Baker Lake, the preseason forecast was wrong, and that's good because the return's been much better than expected. We are bumping up against a 15,000 fish return up the Baker River, and over 7,500 salmon have been transferred to Baker Lake, where the bite continues to be good. There is one negative note about this year's sockeye return, and that would be the numbers heading up the Snake River into Idaho. So far, less than 400 salmon have made it over Lower Granite Dam, and the run is only about a third of the 10-year average. So this is definitely concerning as the Snake River sockeye run tries to hang on. Meanwhile, on the environmental front, the Suquamish tribe has notified King County they plan on suing them to stop pollution from the West Point wastewater plant in Seattle. According to a press release from the tribe, there have been 11 significant failures resulting in the discharge of sewage into Elliott Bay over the last 5 years. And we're not talking about little oops here. Oh no, we're talking about big poops with 50,000 gallons of sewage going into Puget Sound on the low end of these discharges and 2.1 million gallons of sewage going in during the worst of these discharges. I'm glad the tribe is shining a light on this issue. You hear all of this talk about breaching the Snake River dams to save the orcas and the salmon they feed on, but the fact of the matter is, there is a significant problem affecting the entire ecosystem right in Seattle, and you almost never hear the politicians or very many folks in the media talk about it. And there's certainly been no accountability towards fixing these repeated problems that I'm aware of. Let's hope this legal action leads to some better, cleaner operations from King County and the wastewater treatment plants they operate. One more thing that's hot, the weather. That's why Hillary Franz, the Commissioner of Public Lands, put a statewide burn ban in effect through September 30th. That means no outdoor burning, though fire pits at developed campgrounds in city, state, and county parks is still okay if those entities allow them. But check before you do, and don't even think of starting a fire on any Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife land. Campfires are banned on all of them statewide, which means if you want a campfire at a state wildlife area, you'll be using a propane stove or a propane fire ring. And with that, you are now in the know about what's hot this week in the Pacific Northwest.
That's your first local shot of the outdoors. Now let's see what's going on across the nation. NorthwestFishingReports.com is the Northwest's largest fishing reports website, featuring well over 50,000 fishing reports, videos, articles, and more, all 100% free. Catch more fish with Northwest Fishing Reports. Log on today.
It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
Welcome aboard. It's been a crazy summer when it comes to vacationing. COVID-19, which many of us hoped was going to be a seasonal illness, has made it clear it's sticking around until a vaccine is developed to stop it. And this has upended travel plans in a big way, especially if you're an angler. Countries like Costa Rica and Canada have both closed their borders to anglers and tourists, which is a huge hit to their economies, but in their government's mind, the only effective way to stop the rampant spread of the disease we have seen here in the United States. Alaska is open, but not easy to get into, with flights at a minimum and a requirement to show you are COVID-free 72 hours or less prior to arriving in the last frontier. And air travel? Let's just say that's not exactly making a quick comeback. So, what are Americans doing this summer? They're hitting the road. RV rentals and sales are through the roof this year, and while traditional family-friendly resorts are closed, fishing and camping resorts are open, as are state and national parks, offering families a throwback vacation experience full of fishing, nature, water fun, and family time. One place vacationing anglers are headed to this summer is Devil's Lake in North Dakota. The fishing? It's been as hot as the thermometer lately, and Susie Kenner, the executive director of Devil's Lake Tourism, will tell you about all the great catches of walleye, northern pike, and bass coming out of this big lake right now. If you're looking for a good lure to use for some of these fish, you might want to consider the Hyperplastics Dart Prop Pro from A Band of Anglers. It just won the award for the best new freshwater soft lure at ICAST, and Patrick Sabel, that famous angler from France who designed it, will join us to tell you more about this lure and what goes into designing a lure that will catch more fish. After we talk to Patrick, we'll get a chance to chat with Amy Hall. She is involved with a company called Miss Pursuit, founded by Carly Brasseau. Miss Pursuit uses its website, social media platforms, and the podcast hosted by Amy to get more women into the field to hunt and out onto the water to fish. There are definitely challenges facing women coming into these sports, and Miss Pursuit is there to level the playing field and make it easier for women who may not have a mentor to get them into the outdoors and enjoy the passions of hunting and fishing. This is going to be a fascinating conversation that I think you're going to enjoy. Before we talk to Amy and Patrick and Susie, though, we've got some very good news to share about a bill that has passed both the House and the Senate and is about to be signed into law. Our first guest today on America Outdoors Radio is one you have heard from before. It's Lan Tawney. He is the president and the CEO of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, an organization we support because they support protecting our public lands here in America so that we can recreate on them. Lan, it's great to have you on the air because we've got some really good news to share. The Great American Outdoors Act has passed the Senate. It's passed the House. It's going to be signed into law. This is a huge win, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think the sky's a little bluer, the grass is a little greener. You know, this is the largest, I think, conservation slash access victory that we will have probably in our lifetimes.
Wow. So I understand that this means permanent funding for the Land Water Conservation Fund, and it's a fund paid for not through taxes that you and I and our listeners pay, but through royalties that offshore oil companies pay. How much goes into this fund on an annual basis, and what is this fund used for?
Sure. So back in 1964, when they first established this, it was when offshore oil and gas development was, you know, increasing in the Gulf of Mexico. And they said, we're taking from one resource, let's give back to another. And okay, so it's been authorized at $900 million, but only funded fully twice since 1964. And really what this money does is it goes for access to fishing, like fishing access sites. It pays for larger conservation purchases, but also, you know, swimming pools, soccer fields, these kind of inner city parks. A lot of those have been paid for by the Land and Water Conservation Fund.
Interesting, because in the run-up to this, I have always heard that it's also used for, like, infrastructure on our public lands. For example, you know, all that deferred maintenance has been put off in some cases for decades in our national parks, that are refuges, in our national forests, that funding from the Land Water Conservation Fund will be used to address that.
On that side, people have tried to divert that money that way, but ultimately they have not been able to do that. So this is all for kind of new stuff. What ultimately was in the Great American Outdoors Act as well was a backlog of funding maintenance piece as well.
All right.
And so that was, you know, it's $1.9 billion for 5 years. So ultimately that's $9.5 billion with a B. You know, there's a $20 billion backlog for maintenance right now on our public lands. And so this is basically a down payment because we have not been caring and feeding our public lands like we should.
Okay. So two separate pieces that are part of this act, both really important. Another question for you here. In the past, how was the land water conservation funded? Like you said, it was only fully funded twice. And what does the act mean in terms of fully funding it, not having to fight for this money all the time?
Absolutely. So, you know, it would range anywhere, like recently, from $300 to $400 million. And, you know, back in 1964, $300 and $400 million bought you a lot more than it does in 2020.
Right.
But now going forward with $900 million guaranteed every single year, you'll be able to plan. You know, there's a lot of folks that either want to keep their farm the way it is, or they want to keep their ranch the way it is. They want to help provide more public access. Now this money will be guaranteed, and so it's going to be a lot easier to work with private landowners in particular, willing private landowners. And as we plan, you know, for cities and parks and fishing access sites, it'll just be much more consistent, which I'm super excited about. And this is in, John, this is in perpetuity. This is until somebody repeals this law. So I am super stoked about what this means for future generations.
This is wonderful news. Is there anything else in the Great American Outdoor Act that outdoors enthusiasts should know about and be excited about?
You know, I think it doesn't cost taxpayers a dime, which is great. You know, again, it comes from oil and gas development on the LWCF side, and then the Great American, the other side of the Great American Outdoors Act with that backlog of maintenance, that comes from all new energy developments that can be wind and solar as well. And I'm pretty excited about what this means going forward. And I think, you know, the thing I would let people know is that we didn't get here by accident. You know,
right.
People made phone calls, thousands of phone calls. They sent emails. I mean, this has been, I would say, a long continued kind of a fight, and or fight is maybe the wrong word, but just, you know, bringing people together. And so a lot of people don't think their voice counts anymore, but boy, did this bill prove it. And you know, the bipartisan fashion that it was passed, 73 to 25 out of the Senate and then out of the House, we're still kind of reeling on these numbers. I think it was 310 to 107. And so just overwhelmingly supported on, you know, from both sides of the aisle, which doesn't happen anymore in this country.
No, you're absolutely right about this. Everyone calls them the do-nothing Congress because it seems all they do is fight. But it's great that both the House and the Senate came together to pass this really important legislation that, like you said, is a conservation win for not only our lifetime, but for generations to come, more than likely. This is great news, folks. If you want to find out more about what's happening on our public lands, go to backcountryhunters.org. That's the website for backcountry hunters and anglers. I am a member of this organization, and what, are we up to 50,000 yet, or are we still bumping up against that in terms of membership?
We're still bumping up against that. I think, you know, COVID just shut down some of our, you know, face-to-face events, which
is
one of our best ways to, be, you know, gather new members. But we're holding strong, and, you know, new chapters growing every year. And we only have two left. We need Delaware and Hawaii to cover every single state in this country.
That's fantastic news, and that's fantastic news for protecting our public lands that we love. Land, keep up the great work. Thanks for sharing this wonderful news with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Oh, man. High five to you, John. We'll see you soon. We'll be right back.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now, and there's a reason. They are the only Alaska lodge we talk about in this show. It's because they're truly Alaska's best lodge. The adventure starts with a float plane ride from Ketchikan, after which you'll get the chance to experience some of the best hospitality, food, and wonderful people you'll ever meet. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales, and let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand public access to the outdoors. Our outdoor heritage depends on sportsmen and women like you speaking up for the natural resources that sustain our way of life. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org and become a BHA member today.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
Looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer an affordable platform to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting host John Cruz through his website at AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. But hurry, if you wait too long, this big opportunity might just get away. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com.
Hot summer nights mean hot morning fishing for sockeye here in the Northwest, and Max Lure Company has got what you need to catch a limit with the Double D Dodger and two great sockeye rigs. The Double D Dodger has a unique fast slow action and can be fished away from the boat without a side planer. The Cha-Cha Sockeye Rig and Double Whammy Sockeye Pro both feature a patented smile blade and two stout red hooks that won't let go of that salmon when it bites. Max Lure Company, getting you into the sockeye this summer.
Tillamook Bay is considered the greatest fishing experience on the West Coast for fall Chinook salmon and winter steelhead, and Dungeness crab is plentiful. Five major rivers connect with the ocean on the Tillamook coast. It's not unusual to snag a 40 to 50 pounder. Go out in a boat or stand on a riverbank or dock. Try fishing from a dory boat and experience the thrill of a beach launch and landing. Use spinners, sand shrimp, or salmon eggs to lure them. The fish will line up to grab your bait. Go to TillamookCoast.com/fishing to find guides and places to stay.
Fishing and fun. That's what you'll find at Mardon Resort. Come to sunny eastern Washington and bring your RV or rent a cottage, cabin, or room at our newly upgraded resort at the south end of Potholes Reservoir. Get tackle and provisions at our general store. And after you're done fishing, hanging out at our swim beach, or boating for the day, enjoy dinner and a drink at the beach house. Find out more at MardonResort.com. That's MardonResort.com, where the fish bite and we don't.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter, and with over 90 locations, you're sure to find a store near you full of the gear you need to succeed this hunting season. Firearms, ammo, archery equipment, decoys, clothing, boots, and more. You'll find it all at Sportsman's Warehouse. Better still, the knowledgeable staff can help you with tips and frequent in-store seminars, all designed to help you bag a trophy or a limit this hunting season. Find a location near you or shop online today at sportsmanswarehouse.com.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. Last week, we talked to you about several winners from ICAST that took home Best New Product Awards, and we are talking to another winner today. His name is Patrick Seville, and he is quite the angler. He was born in France, and he has caught 370-plus record fish, including 34 IGFA world records. He's fished in 68 different countries, caught almost 800 different species of fish. He's been on TV shows. He's written and published books and articles. And oh yes, he's also a fishing guide and a captain and the man behind the company, A Band of Anglers, and the winner of the new freshwater soft lure from iCast, the Hyperplastics Dart Prop Pro SK. Patrick, it's an honor to have you on the air today.
Well, the honor is mine. Thank you very much for having me.
Let's talk about this freshwater soft lure, very unique looking lure, the Hyperplastics Dart Prop Pro SK. This is radio. You're going to have to describe what it looks like to our listeners and what kind of fish you catch with it.
Well, I will start this way. Yourself, and I'm sure very many of the people who will be hearing this show, I love fishing with lures, and I know lures with props have a very strong attraction to fish such as bass, and not only for bass. The problem was, well, typically the lures that have props on them have also treble hooks.
Right.
And that means, sometimes if you fish nearby a submerged tree or if you fish in a very heavy grass-covered area, it's really hard to fish with a lure with treble hooks. First, because it can snag the structure or the grass, but also when the fish, and especially a good one, you know, when you have a 6-7 pounder bass on the line and that fish is hooked on one of the treble hook, well, quite often the second treble hook find its own way to grab more grass, and then you end up losing that fish. So that was the idea behind the Dart Prop, was to find a way that I can design a soft plastic lure that has props, so to have the benefit and the attraction of props, but to be rigged as a soft plastic bait that you rig on a big single, you know, wide gap hook. And that was really the big point there.
So we have this weedless soft plastic lure, and it has a prop in the front, it has a prop in the back. What are the props made of? It doesn't look like, at least from the photos, that they're made of metal. Are they Mylar?
No, they do. They are made of stainless steel, so they are very durable. So in the sinking model, we have indeed one prop that's on the hook shank in front of the nose of the soft plastic bait. And then I have a unique patent that I use on several baits, like the Dart Spin or the Worm Spin, where I have a kind of spring that is put into the mold before we inject our long-lasting soft tough material. And thanks to that, I have that spring on the very tail, and that wire goes outside, and that's where we have a second prop. So that's why the sinking model have two props, one in the nose, one in the tail. You can swim it slow to fish, say, 6, 8, 10 feet deep. You can burn it to swim it on the top. And we are coming soon also with the topwater version that have no weight and only a prop in the tail. And that one purely makes a wake on the top.
Very interesting. Very innovative, too. So you're talking about fishing this for bass, primarily largemouth bass. Looking at this, I would imagine this would be a very effective lure for northern pike as well.
Oh, definitely. And believe me, as you mentioned, I was born in France, so of course my first, you know, warrior angler years when I didn't care to go in private property and things like that, if there was a decent piece of water, well, the pike was my number one target very often. We had some bass. I was born in the southwest of France, for those of you who know the famous wine from Bordeaux. Well, that's where I'm from. So that's the only region in France where we have a decent bass population, but still the number one predator in shallow water, the pike. So definitely a great way to target the pike is to use that Dart Prop. So predator were attracted by a lure that can go through cover, grass, branches, and that have those props that help both to deflect, create flash and turbulence. Well, definitely that's going to catch predator right there.
Any other fish that you would use this for?
You know, when I design a lure, and I know it sounds to go against what you probably heard from many other designers, so I'm not saying they're wrong and I'm right. I'm just saying that's my approach. I design a lure to create a specific type of action. And typically, that type of action is not limited to one specific fish, but it fits under conditions. In fact, what is great with the props is that when they spin, they create a lot of turbulences. And what anglers may not think of very often is that the number one thing that drives a predator fish to find there's a prey, because of course they attack a lure because they believe it's a prey, is that they feel the presence of that lure thanks to their lateral line. So that's why for me, having a lure that creates a lot of turbulences
is a lure that will catch the attention of a number of fish. So I won't be afraid to use that for steelhead. And I'm not kidding.
Really?
Using that, yes, indeed. Fishing that both as a trolling lure, you know, when you go in places like Lake Michigan,
right,
where people will target steelhead and salmon, you know, and you just need to have the right setup and have, you know, like a downrigger so you can bring the lure as deep as needed. But you can rely on the action of the lure. You can rely on the props working, creating those turbulence. You can rely on the fact that that one single hook will definitely hook much better your fish. You're much less likely to lose the fish when it's fighting and jumping out of the water. You also can rely on one thing I've not mentioned, is the balance of that lure allows for the body to have like a build minnow action. I mean, literally, when you see that lure swimming, not only you see the blade spinning, but the effect on the blade on body is that you have that side to side, you know, where the head goes right, left, like a, you know, a bill minnow. And that adds definitely to the action for this lure. So honestly speaking, I am not saying that for that fish or that fish, but I'm saying that we go in a number of situations. So think about cast and retrieve in cover situation. Think about attracting fish like smallmouth bass in open water, you know, when you need to let that bait go, say 10, 12 feet deep and very, very, very slowly, like a spy bait, basically, reeling it in. And also another thing is the sinking model of a sliding mass transfer weight. That means on the hook shank, I put a round bead, a round weight, mm-hmm, that moves from the back to the front of the hook shank. So thanks to that, when you want to cast, many of you knows that, well, you have mass transfer R bait where you have a bead or two beads or magnet that moves into the body and goes to the tail at the moment of the cast. So you have a better, longer cast, more accurate cast. And when you start to reel, the weight moves inside the blade to have a better position. That's the same with the dart prop sinking. So when you cast, the weight, so it goes on the very bottom of the hook shank, so closer to the tail. So you make that longer, more accurate cast. As soon as it hits the water, automatically, thanks to the curve of the hook, the weight slides to underneath the sheen. And now on the semi-slack line, just do nothing. You let it sink and the props work on the drop. So you can have a bite on the drop. And as soon as you start to reel it in,
right,
then the weight moves in the wider area of the hook to have the perfect balance. And that's where you have that minnow, build minnow action on the retrieve on top of having the props working.
Patrick, you have sold me on this. I think you've sold a lot of our listeners too. So the last question is this. The Hyperplastics Dart Prop Pro SK from a band of anglers. Where and when can we buy it?
There's an increasing range of retailers that are carrying that bait. The retailers online will carry it, like Tackle Warehouse, I think, will have it, but there's a number of others. We should deliver them around end November or mid of December.
Okay.
Will be the time frame.
So, folks, if you're thinking of Christmas, think about the Hyperplastics Dart Prop Pro SK from a band of anglers. You can buy it in November, as you just heard, at Tackle Warehouse, other online retailers too, and you can always go to abandofanglers.com. That's the company that Patrick Sabeel has founded, and buy yourself not only this lure, but some other ones are going to work as well. We've got to go, but Patrick, congratulations again on winning the Best Freshwater Soft Lure Award from ICAST this year. Quite an honor, and I can't wait to fish this lure once it comes out.
Oh, very soon, my friend. Thank you, everybody.
Game-changing. That's the best way to describe the new Scent Flash UV Triangle Flasher from Max Lure Company. This 360-degree rotational inline flasher features a scent release system attracting salmon to the lure behind it like no other flasher on the market. Soak the free scent pad with any type of oil or gel, or load up the cavity with any type of bait for fishing success beyond your wildest dreams. It's the Scent Flash UV Triangle Flasher, only from Max Lure Company.
Ready for more local fishing and hunting? You got it. It's the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio, right here on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
We're checking in with Tom Burlingame, the owner of XL Fishing Charters out of Nea Bay, because he's been out salmon fishing. Tom, great to have you on the air again. How has the salmon fishing been?
It's been a good season, John. We've been catching Chinook in Area 4 and 5, and the Chinook fishing this summer has been unusual because it's been in different spots, but been a lot of big fish and good fishing.
Well, as they say, all good things must come to an end. We're bumping up against Chinook quotas in both Marine Area 5, and I guess it's Coho quotas that are driving things in Marine Area 4, isn't it?
That's correct, John. We won't have much time left in Area 4. I expect to be running out of quota soon.
As a matter of fact, folks, we're recording this midweek. By the time you hear this, these fisheries may already be shut down. But one thing that will definitely be open is Coho fishing, Marine Area 5, CQ. How do you expect that to be in the month of August?
I think it's going to be a good fishery all the way through September, John. The coho are plentiful. They were forecast to be a little lower. Maybe the forecast was a little bit low, which is a good thing.
Right.
And I think we're going to have a good fall.
And the limit is 2 coho?
That is correct.
What's the basic drill to catch them?
You're trolling shallow, 40 feet of water, 50 feet of water on the downriggers, and spoons and hoochies work equally as well.
So you're using these lures, you're trolling 40 feet deep. Do you use any scent or not?
I'm not a big guy on scent in the salt. I don't see where it makes a huge difference, so no, I don't.
And what about color?
I prefer greens for coho, but other colors of spoons work equally as well. These fish are aggressively feeding, so they're happy to hit anything.
If you want to try out this fishery and you don't have a boat or just don't want to haul yours all the way out to CQ, give Tom Burlingame a call. He'll take you out on his boat with XL Fishing Charters, and he's also got a great place to stay, the Inn at Nia Bay. The website to go to find out more and to book this trip is XLEXCELFishingCharters.com. Tom, thanks for the report.
Thank you, John.
Want to get into the fish? Then head to the Olympic Peninsula. XCEL Fishing Charters will get you into salmon near CQ, where you can keep two Chinook a day, or bottom fishing out of Nia Bay, where an abundant limit of rockfish and lingcod await. You'll be fishing in a comfortable boat with Tom Burlingame, and if you need a place to stay, he's got you covered at the Inn at Nia Bay. Book today at XCELFishingCharters.com.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz, and our next guest is Amy Hall. She is the host of the Miss Pursuit podcast, which can be heard at misspursuit.com and on several podcast platforms. And she's coming at us today from the volunteer state of Tennessee. Amy, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Let's start off with Miss Pursuit. What is this all about? The website, the podcast, and more.
You know, Carly and I met about a year and a half ago, and we had a conversation over a podcast that I was hosting at the time, and she was explaining to me her passion for igniting women in the outdoors, just the excitement of it and the newness of it for beginners. Now, Miss Pursuit is for everyone of all different experiences, whether you are a newbie or you have a top-level experience of being a hunter or a fisherman or a hiker, just being in the outdoors. But it ignites that passion for all women of all ages, of all backgrounds, to just get started and to keep going.
Miss Pursuit is found on a number of platforms. You can go to misspursuit.com, mm-hmm. which is the website. There's your podcast, mm-hmm. which you can listen to. And I'm guessing you're on all sorts of podcast platforms. There's social media as well. And I guess you hear the phrase Miss Pursuit, you immediately think that this is all about women and hunting. Mm-hmm. But listening to you, it's about a lot more than hunting, isn't it?
It's true. It's very true. I think that it started with hunting for Carly and for me. We both kind of had that same background of how we got started. But the more women that we have brought on to the contributor list for blogs and articles and things like that, it has stretched out into so much more. And like you said, it isn't just for women. I feel like we've had a lot of men who have come on board asking questions, how do I get my significant other involved, or my daughter, or my sister, or as a new hunter, it applies across the board for men or women getting to know the facts or the even just terminology of the outdoors. So even though it is marketed and branded for women, it's not pigeonholed into that demographic for sure.
You know, there was a recent study we talked about on the show last week that showed that women coming into the sport of fishing, that there was a huge increase over the last year. Mm-hmm. I know that women, when it comes to hunting, that has been a savior in terms of bringing more people in as hunter numbers decline across the nation. Despite that, though, there are barriers for women who want to participate in these sports. And I've heard a lot of them have to do with the fact that as women grew up, or even as adults, they might have an interest in it, but they've never had a mentor that can show them how to do it. Is that a common thing you see, or do you see other barriers as well?
No, I would agree. I feel as though in talking to women on the Miss Pursuit podcast, or even on my own podcast of Her Wild Outdoors, it is a common thread. I know that I did not grow up with a woman in my life who was a hunter. And so even though our numbers are increasing with women in hunting and fishing, you can see a vast number of women exiting. So you don't see them sticking with it because they don't necessarily have that support system of other women. And I think that's how Miss Pursuit truly can have an impact on our community, because it is a way that they are connected and can be inspired to keep going.
That's really interesting. You hear people talking about R3, which involves recruiting people in the outdoors, but also mm-hmm. retaining them. And I guess I never thought about the fact that, yes, we're getting women into the sports of hunting and fishing, but then we're losing them because they don't have that support network. And so, you know, you have like Becoming an Outdoors Woman, which is a great organization, which, mm-hmm. you know, brings women together through workshops all over the nation and gives them skills. But I guess I never thought about the fact that, okay, they get these skills, but if they don't have anybody to use them with, or they don't have a community like Miss Pursuit offers, that they could fall mm-hmm. right back off and they're not outdoors anymore.
Agreed. It's a one-time event, or possibly even if you sign up for multiple events during the year, but it's what happens later. It's the, have you found a mentor who will follow you through the rest of the year, who will introduce you to fishing or small game, or then into larger game? But it's the impact of continuance. It's the impact of, I think that Miss Pursuit does a great job of encouraging to find a mentor, but then also be a mentor, and it passes it on. If you bring a woman into hunting and fishing, you bring the whole family in. And so I think that that's one way to continue it on, is to create that cycle of be a mentor and have a mentor. You have to have both.
I think this is really enlightening, this conversation. It's not going the way I thought it was going, but it's actually really interesting to me. So, you know, you have a podcast where you're basically having conversations, I'm guessing primarily with women, about becoming engaged mm-hmm. in these sports. There's the website, which is chock full of really good articles that cater, again, to women, especially when it comes to hunting, but other outdoors pursuits as well. But what are other ways that you encourage and support women to continue in these? I mean, I'm guessing you have a social media platform. Is there also a forum or maybe a closed group on social media where people communicate and talk back and forth, maybe even plan trips together, that sort of thing?
There have been talks about that actually in the future of getting groups together. I think that the main thing is to introduce women as contributors to these articles and blogs and conversations, and then connecting you to them so that you might be able to find somebody in your neighborhood or in your state or in a place that you would like to go to. And so then you're connected through this social media world that we have a lot of complaints about, but it actually, for women, especially in the outdoors, it closes that circle in a little bit tighter. You might not have somebody 5 minutes from you, but there might be somebody that you can connect to a state away that you can travel to and learn from. And so I think I would love to see these groups grow. I would love to see the connection grow, but I think right now what we are doing is connecting women together.
Let's talk about how big of a project Miss Pursuit is in terms of how much of an audience do you have right now?
You know, I do not know the specific numbers. It is growing significantly. I know through the podcast we're reaching people in Australia and in Europe.
Wow.
and all over the United States and Canada. And so I know that there are people that are coming together because we do have contributors that aren't just in the United States. So you're able to learn about harvesting tar in New Zealand from a woman who is really into what's going on in her community in New Zealand right now. And it's just so much bigger than I think Carly ever envisioned for it to be, just connecting people together. And, you know, you ask, what are those things that we fight against, that we find ourselves up against? And truly, I think one of the big things is, like you said, keeping women in hunting and fishing in the outdoors. But I think it's also breaking that stereotype that we have to fight uphill against the softness, the, oh, we've got to be careful, or they can't quite do it the same. And I think that the women are doing a great job of not being, I don't know if you've heard of this term, influencers. It was a new one to me just recently, of a guest that I had on, and it's fighting that stereotype of, look at me, I just want attention, to know we are true outdoorsmen. We are true hunters. We might not do it the same, but nobody does it the same, men or women. Men
right.
don't do it the same as men do. We all fish differently. We all cast differently. We all harvest different. And depending on where you are in the world, you're hunting differently. So I think it's just breaking down that stereotype and saying, hey, we're here. We're in it. And we're in it to stay. And we're in it to support each other, men and women.
So many more questions, but we are out of time. Folks, if you want to find out more about getting more women into the field and on the water and keeping them there so we can grow our combined sports, go to misspursuit.com. That's the website, misspursuit.com. And be sure to check out Amy's podcast, the Miss Pursuit Podcast, also full of great information. Amy, thanks for taking the time to tell us all about this today on America Outdoors Radio.
Of course, John. Thank you.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
The Dalles in Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores, plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm.
Have you been putting off opening your retirement account statements because you're afraid of what you might see? If you were caught in the recent correction, You know that watching your savings evaporate in the market is devastating. We're the Retirement Income Store, and our message is clear. It's time to stop crossing your fingers and toes, hoping for growth. There is another more conservative way to plan for income without all the risk, using interest and dividends. Call 888-888-4176 now to learn how the Retirement Income Store can help during these uncertain times. 888-888-4176. We'll send you our Retirement Income Kit with five educational tools, including David Scranton's best-selling book, 888-888-4176. The Retirement Income Store, where retirees go for income. Call 888-888-4176 now.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz, and I've got a question for you. Where do you go when it's hotter than H-E double hockey sticks and you want to go fishing? Well, you ought to be going to Devil's Lake in North Dakota, where the fishing is as hot as the summer sun. With us here to tell you more about it is Susie Kenner. She's the Executive Director for Devil's Lake Tourism. Susie, great to have you on the air.
Thanks for having me.
So, Susie, you sent out a press release that has me very interested in coming to North Dakota for some fishing. Three types of fish are on the bite right now, walleye, pike, and bass. Let's break it down. Talk about the walleye fishing, because Devil's Lake, one of the best-known walleye fisheries in America.
It is, and in fact, North Dakota Game and Fish just came through and stocked just shy of 1 million fingerlings, I think, in our lake. So we'll have more to come with years to come. So excited about that. But yeah, the fishery is about 160,000 acres, and you can use any presentation that you wish on the lake. And walleyes are probably by far the most popular on our lake, and you can get those ranging from small ones you can catch all day long, to the eater size, to even a 29-incher that we caught on Friday.
I saw that picture of your coworker Rachel with that monster 29-inch walleye. That was a beaut. But again, folks, walleye fishing, it is the bomb, especially if you are after one of the best-tasting freshwater fish, if not the best-tasting freshwater fish, period, you're ever going to eat. Now, one fish that's not as popular for eating, but it sure is a good fighting fish, the northern pike. I understand the fishing's been pretty good for those, too.
It has been. Always has been. And again, size ranges on those, too. And you can catch some big ones out on Devil's Lake, either by shore or by boat. So, and that's a fun fish to catch because they are fighters.
Oh, they really are. I personally really enjoy going after them and don't get to do so often enough. The next species is one I'm not that familiar with, white bass. I've caught smallmouth. I've caught largemouth. Never caught a white bass before. Tell me about these fish in the fishery at Devil's Lake.
You know, I would consider the white bass the kid-friendly fish.
Okay.
When you're out there, you know, with your family and you get on a school of white bass, every cast that you put into the water, you'll catch a fish. So they're a lot of fun. They're feisty. A lot of people will smoke them as an eating fish. But yeah, and those grow in size too to be really large as well. But yeah, it's fun. You'll see all the bubbles coming up either out on the dock or out in the water if you're out by boat. And once you see that happening, you want to make sure you're casting out, because like I said, you'll catch one every single cast that you put out.
That sounds like fun to me. What is an average size white bass in Devil's Lake, and what's considered a big one?
That's a very good question. As far as an angler goes, I'm not very good on my sizes. you know, I would say maybe 10 to 12 inches in length, but they get to be really fat fish.
Okay.
You know, Devil's Lake is full of what they call the freshwater shrimp, and there's a lot of vegetation in the water for all of the fish to eat on. And so our fish in our lake seem to be a lot plumper, so to say, than a lot of different areas, and that goes for the perch fishing too in the winter.
All right. Now, if we're going to be coming to Devil's Lake, we're going to need some places to stay. You know, you're a town of about 7,000 people, and you seem to be pretty rich in both hotels and campgrounds and several fishing resorts in the area, too.
Definitely. And it varies by price point as well, whether you want a cheap place to stay with just a head on a bed in the evening, or if you want that full resort experience or a nice hotel in town, too. We have A lot of our hotels and quite a few of our resorts offer fish cleaning stations for the public to use.
Nice.
And we also have one that's open to the public if you're staying someplace that doesn't offer that, which is free to use, that was put up by our Lake Access Committee, which is kind of unique to different areas. It's indoor, so it's heated in the winter and air-conditioned in the summer, and it's a great place to clean your fish when you're done fishing for the day. But yeah, resorts with restaurants, different cabins. Woodland Resort has their new legendary suites, which are like 2- and 3-bedroom condo style base type cabins. And we have not an overabundance of overnight camping. We do have a beautiful state park that's right on the lake, Grahams Island State Park, that offers overnight camping. And there are a few other campgrounds that do have overnight camping as well. But for the most part, a lot of our camping is seasonal, which brings our population up by about 4,000 units throughout the summer as well, too. So,
one other question. In this summer of COVID-19, how is that affecting tourism? Are you seeing normal visitation, heavier visitation, or is it a lot lighter because people just don't want to be out and about?
Honestly, I would say it's a little bit above normal. When we first went into COVID, we had a lot of cancellations, but a lot of our resorts and hotels have been able to pick that up with new travelers coming to the area from camping to just people looking for a couple nights to stay with their family. North Dakota is known for our wide open spaces, and Devil's Lake fits that realm right there. So it's been a great family destination for people this summer. So I definitely say you want to plan ahead.
All right. Well, there's definitely lots of social distancing to be found, not only in North Dakota, but certainly fishing at Devil's Lake. You got a couple of great guides that work out of there. One of them is Ansel Reynolds. One of them is a guest on this show and one of the best walleye anglers in the entire country, Johnny Candle. If folks want to find more information about coming to Devil's Lake and maybe get some phone numbers and ideas for a guide if they haven't fished it before, what's the website we should send them to?
Yes, so our website is devilslakend.com. And just as you mentioned, all of the resorts, hotels, restaurants, different things to do for your family, if you're not on the lake, are listed on there. And then all of our guide services as well, with easy links to find all of their different prices and availability calendars as well. So if you've never fished Devil's Lake and want to, always recommend hiring a guide for a day or two. It's a lot of fun, and they'll get you on fish, and it's just a great time.
I agree completely. The destination, again, is Devil's Lake, North Dakota. If you are looking to embrace the heat and find some fantastic fishing, this is the destination for you. The website, again, devilslakend.com. Susie, thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
This portion of the show, by the way, is brought to you by WorkSharp. That is the company that makes those fantastic knife sharpeners, both manual and electric, out of Ashland, Oregon, that you can buy at hardware stores and sporting goods stores all throughout the nation. You can also buy them online at WorkSharpTools.com. And if you do, be sure to use the coupon code RADIO at checkout to get 30% off your entire order, plus free shipping. That's a great deal. But I've got an even better deal for you, and that would be the giveaway we are doing with WorkSharp. It's our Sharp Summer Giveaway, and you can enter by going to our Facebook page at America Outdoors Radio. Step one, like and follow our America Outdoors Radio Facebook page, and then look for the post at the top of the page where we're doing this giveaway. We are giving away an electric combo knife sharpener, a manual field-guided sharpener, and a snazzy hat too. Total value $110. If you want a chance to win it, just let us know what state you're from. That's all you have to do to enter. Let us know what state you're from on the post thread that we have there for this giveaway. And on August 31st, we're going to randomly draw one person who does that, and they're going to win all of this great swag from WorkSharp. Again, the Facebook page is America Outdoors Radio, and if you don't do Facebook, you can enter through our website too. Just go to AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com, go to the Contact Us page, let us know that you want to enter this giveaway, let us know what state you're in, and you are entered for a chance to win. We'll post that information on the Facebook page for you. As we wrap things up, I know that you might not have had a chance to listen to our entire show, or maybe you just want to hear past episodes again. If you do, our show is also carried as a podcast. We tend to upload it 3 or 4 days after the original broadcast, but you can hear the show in its entirety, and you can hear it on demand. Various platforms. We're on Apple iTunes. Just look for the America Outdoors Radio podcast there. Or you can find us on Stitcher and Pandora and TuneIn and Radio Public and Podbean. For all of those, just look for America Outdoors Radio. One more thing I'd like to mention is the fact we've got some new listeners on board. They're tuning in on News Radio 102.9 KARN out of Little Rock, Arkansas. I got to spend a few days there last year when I was attending a National Outdoor Writers Conference, and I'll tell you what, I fell in love with this big city along the banks of the Arkansas River. Friendly people, great downtown, and lots of outdoor recreation in the area to include bass fishing on the Arkansas River. We are glad you're here, and we can't wait to bring the outdoors to you on a weekly basis. The weather has certainly been hot the last few weeks across much of America, but the fishing's been hot too, and so have the opportunities for all sorts of recreation outside. Whether you're heading to the lake, heading out onto the ocean, heading to the beach, heading into the woods, there's a lot to do out there. So here's hoping you are blessed in the days ahead. Do me a favor, do stay healthy as COVID rears its ugly head again, and do remember this, it is your country and your outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Don't leave yet. We've got one more local shot of fishing and hunting to wrap up the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio.
It's that time again. It's time for another Max Minute. And with us again to talk about coastal salmon fishing is Bob Loomis. Great to have you back.
Thank you, John.
So we talked before about using the triangle flasher and a herring rig to go ahead and catch salmon off the coast, whether you're after coho or chinook. But you've got another offering that you've had for years that works really well, especially for those fish that like to eat squid.
Oh, absolutely, John. You know, this rig that we've got here is what we call the sledgehammer, and it is built on 120-pound wire with a 5-aught Siwash hook, and it is a high UV squid body with one of our patented flashlight blades. And I'll tell you what, pulling this thing through the water, because of the 360-degree rotation of the blade, you don't even have to use a dodger or a flasher or anything with it. It works well by itself. You can fish a dodger or flasher with it, but you don't need to impart any type of movement, and you don't need to get that added attraction because you've got that flashlight blade on there.
So you literally can just have like a banana weight, sink it down to the level you need to use it, and just tie the leader and tie the sledgehammer right onto it.
It works outstanding. And with the squid body, you know, there's a bead up inside there. You take and push that bead out of the way, fill it up with scent, and then push it back down on top of there. I'll tell you what, it works really well.
Are you fishing a bear hook? That is a mighty big hook. Or are you fishing some sort of strip of fish or bait?
I've fished it both ways. Like I said, I've used it with the scent up inside the head of the squid body, and I fished it with strip bait, with a strip bait of herring or anchovy or something like that.
It's the Max Lure Sledgehammer. It's a tried and true lure that will get you into the chinook, the coho, and any other salmon that's swimming out there too. Thanks as always, Bob.
Thank you, John.
One note of caution before you head to the ocean, check those regulations. Marine Area 1 off of El Waco, that area is closed, as is portions of the northern Oregon coast from Cape Falcon to Leadbetter Point. These areas are closed because coho quotas have been met. So find out what's open and then get out there and have some fun.
That's all for this week, but don't worry. We'll do it all again next Saturday morning from 7 to 8, right here on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.